Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Names in the business are on You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
Great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself. The kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. Awesome first hour of the show, breaking down Thursday Night Football like a fever dream. My New York Football Giants beat the stuffing out of the Philadelphia Eagles. Still kind of can't believe it happened now. Just got to do it again next week against the Denver Broncos. And talking about the Phillies' loss last night to the LA Dodgers in devastating fashion for them, helping our positions on the Dodgers potentially win the NL and the World Series. Femi, we didn't get into the Brewers and the Cubs, and maybe we'll do that coming up here in a few moments. We're expecting Robert Flores to join us, host for MLB Network, Jay Croucher from NBC next hour, Colin Wilson 40 minutes from now, and our bets on the football weekend in the final hour, the power hour of the show. As a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube and Twitch, type in your best bet for Week 6 NFL Sunday. Bill Zimmerman will read the best ones on the air. Mike Brown will put them on the screen. So just to pull the curtain back a little bit here, we can do the Cubs and Brewers in a second. So we're waiting for Robert Flores to join us. And I was incorrect when I said making his You Better You Bet debut with me. He was on with you while I was on vacation over the summer. So he's been on the show.
Late August.
He's not with me. And he's tremendous on MLB Network. So Addie, our associate producer, Addie Bates, was the one that booked Robert Flores. She knows Roflo, right? Addie has been, Femi, firmly in contention to win Nick Kostos' money this week.
And this is despite not being with us on Wednesday.
I am. This is an excellent bit of context. So what we have happening in our chat right now is a really fun game of cat and mouse with Addie and Jake, where Jake is claiming that Robert Flores is not picking up the phone, whereas Addie is saying Robert Flores is answering her text messages, and Jake insists that he has the correct number. Here's what I can guarantee for everybody. One of them will not win Nick Kostos' money. And it appears that person might be Jake Hassan, because joining us right now on the show, host for our friends at MLB Network, and they do an incredible job on MLB Network. And I actually think this has been one of the best Major League Baseball seasons ever. And this postseason has got a ton of buzz, and you absolutely love it. And one of the reasons why MLB Network is so awesome, has so much energy, is because of our guest at this time, the great Robert Flores, who has the greatest Twitter handle of all time. Like, mine is at the Kostos. Like, I'll be honest, like, it sucks. His is at Roflo. That's yours is okay. Like, Femi Abebefe, it's a cool name. Mine's like the Kostos, because I'm a narcissist. And I need to let all the other Costoses know that out of all of them, I'm the best one. Roflo is the best Twitter handle. And Robert Flores joins us now to talk some Major League Baseball playoffs. Robert, welcome to You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, we appreciate the time. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Robert, do you agree with my assertion that this MLB postseason, like kind of like a cut above what we've seen, not that the others haven't been great, but it feels like there's so much juice right now around this sport?
Well, I do think that going into the postseason, I felt that it was pretty wide open. Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers would probably be the betting favorite, and rightly so, with that roster and all the superstars. But I still think that it's I still think that it's wide open. Look, I think the Mariners, if they can get past Tarek Skubal and the Tigers tonight, I like their roster. They might have the most complete roster when you look at the various parts of their team. And look, the Toronto Blue Jays, they just dispatched the New York Yankees without Bo Bichette. So, yeah, look, I would be surprised if the Dodgers did not make it to the World Series, no matter if they're playing the Cubs or the Brewers, but it would not shock me if one of those two teams found a way to trip them up on the way. So yeah, it's been a great season. It's been and it's also been, like I said, a very good postseason as well thus far.
Do you agree with my assertion, Robert, that you have the best Twitter handle at Roflo?
You know what? Yes and no. I don't really use Twitter all that much. I mean, between the ads and the bots, I've just kind of tapped out on that. But
you're not into the bots responding to every single tweet you put out. You're not into that?
No, I'm not into that. I used to be, but I'm trying to cut back on it. I do like Blue Sky. I'm on that and Instagram. But you know, I guess that's for old people. I do have TikTok, but I'm not quite sure what to make of it. The dances and stuff like that. That's not really my thing, but
you,
I do like that they can show you how to make
TikTok.
Cool recipes.
Like I'm 42
well, I'm not necessarily
on
it. Yeah. I'm not necessarily on it. I just have it. I mainly just have it for the Ninja Creamy recipes in all honesty.
So what is that? Ninja Creamy?
That is like Ninja Creamy is, it's like a blender that makes ice cream and you can make
really?
Like healthy kind of ice cream. Yeah. You can put like, you can make like, ice cream, type desserts, but it's not necessarily but you're using like yogurt and you're using like Fairlife milk and protein and you put protein powder and stuff like that. So I'm trying to bulk up, you know?
Oh, I love that. Listen, it's winter. It's bulking season. I promise we'll get back to baseball in a second, but like have you made any ice cream? And if so, what flavor did you make? I promise we're going to get to baseball.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. I did like a cookies and cream. That was really good. I did a mint chocolate chip. That was good. Did a birthday cake type flavor. That was really good. The key is to use... you know, like the instant pudding mix, the key is to use that, you know, like one or two, tablespoons of that. That's what helps it get creamy.
See, everyone's talking about how like the Chinese are trying to incept us with TikTok. Here's what I want. I want some of Robert Flores' cookies and cream. Cookies and cream is my favorite flavor of ice cream. I absolutely love that. All right. I promise baseball. Let's talk some baseball here. So you mentioned, Robert, that maybe one of the AL teams could take down the Los Angeles Dodgers. You don't really see the Cubs or Brewers being able to make that happen. We'll see when they get there to the NLCS. Who do you think wins Game 5 coming up tomorrow in Milwaukee with the Brewers and the Cubs?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I think that we don't really know what the Brewers' pitching plan is going to be. I mean, I have to figure that Jacob Mizorowski is going to play a big part in it, but what beyond that, how long he goes, does he go five innings? Does he even start? The last time we saw him, he did not even start. So, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what that looks like. I would lean Milwaukee, just because they're at home. But, man, that is a razor-thin margin right now between the two teams, as is for me, Mariners-Tigers. I mean, that is a true pick 'em game tonight.
This is You Better You Bet, Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Robert Flores, host of MLB Central and MLB Network, which you can check out weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern with Lauren Shahadi and Mark DeRosa. You just mentioned it, Robert. You think this is a true pick'em game tonight? School Bowl against Kirby, Tigers, Mariners, winner takes on the Toronto Blue Jays. But if you had to pick it, and we're going to try to make you have to pick it, because this is a betting show, we want to know who you think is going to win the game. Who do you see as the victorious team tonight, and who do you give as the better chance to maybe beat the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALCS?
Well, look, I think if it's the Tigers and the Blue Jays, I think I would lean Toronto in that ALCS. If it's Mariners and Blue Jays, I really think that the Blue Jays are a very complete team. I know that their bullpen, Gabe Spire, in the last game, game four, kind of gave it up a little bit. But Munoz has been fantastic. I love the starting rotation and offensively with Cal Raleigh and Josh Naylor and Eugenio Suarez. Looks like he's getting on track. I really like the Mariners. That being said, the thing you have to ask yourself, or one of the things you have to ask yourself going into tonight's game, is can the Mariners make it four straight wins in games in which Tarek Skubal has started? They beat him in game two, and they beat him two previous times this season. So can they make it four in a row? I think that's a very, very tall order. But at the same time, you know, maybe Skubal is out of the game by the time the game is decided. You know, maybe he goes seven innings or eight innings even, and the game is decided in the ninth. So I think in this game, I'll give a slight nod to Tarek Skubal and the Tigers, but I think it's going to be a very, very tight ball game.
How much do you think, especially in a ball game like this with tonight, like you mentioned, like the players and how that's all going to unfold, like managerial expertise? Obviously, AJ Hinch has been there. Like, he's done that. He's won a World Series. Dan Wilson, this is very new to him. Like, he's never been in a decisive game. He's been in it as a player, but not as the manager. Like, how do you think that factors into what we'll see happen later on this evening in Seattle?
Well, I think it could be a factor. Look, as you said, AJ Hinch loves pitching chaos, right? I mean, although with tonight, you've got to figure he's going in thinking, look, I'm hoping not to make a call to my bullpen early in this game. I'm hoping to make one trip to the mound from Tarek Skubal to the closer, or he makes that decision in the dugout. That being said, I think Dan Wilson learned some valuable lessons early in this series. And we saw him take out Bryce Miller early in game four. I was surprised that he did, as a matter of fact. So I think that Dan Wilson will be fine. I think he'll handle himself accordingly. But like I said, I think this is going to be a very, very tight ball game. It could come down to, like we saw in the Dodgers-Phillies game, like who makes a play and who doesn't make a play. I think when you have two teams that are this evenly matched at this stage of the season, that's often what it comes down to.
Robert, what can the New York Yankees do to get over the hump next season?
Stop striking out so much. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
new manager.
Look at the team. No, I don't think. You know, I don't think they're gonna. First of all, Aaron Boone's under contract. I think Brian Cashman is as well. I would be shocked if either one of those or both of those positions, if they decide to make a change. I think Cashman and Boone return. Maybe there's a tweak in coaching staff and things like that. But, you know, the Yankees, I think we had the stat here on MLB Central this morning. The last time that they won a series in the DS or the CS and it over a non-AL Central team was 2012. You know, you look at their road to the World Series last year. I believe it was the Twins and the Guardians, or the Royals and the Guardians, right? So, it's like I was saying. You know, look at how the Blue Jays beat the Yankees. They beat them with power, they beat them with defense, they beat them with base running, and they beat them with contact. They put the ball in play. And I think for me, sometimes the Yankees, look, hitting home runs is great. It's the currency of the postseason and the regular season. But sometimes you just got to put a ball in play, right? I go back to, I think it was game four. Yeah, it was game four. Austin Wells has the bases loaded. May have been one out. He swings at the first pitch, pops it up. Now you got two outs. So, like, there needs to be a fundamental shift in how I think they approach offense and hitting as a whole. But, I mean, look, what do I know? I wear makeup on TV, so.
Oh, you don't? No, that, I think you would be better suited to run the Yankees, honestly, wearing makeup on TV than what's happening right now. My final question, Robert. I know you're a big WWE guy, a big professional wrestling fan. Now, you and I are simpatico with cookies and cream. I love cookies and cream. I may or may not judge you on this answer. Who is your favorite, not the best, your favorite professional wrestler of all time? We have 30 seconds for the answer.
It's either, I'll give you, let me, it's too hard for just one. So I'll give you three names: Ric Flair, HBK, and Sting.
Man, see, I'm not the biggest Sting guy. Michaels is my all-time favorite, so absolutely love that. Flair is a great choice. Yeah, but Shawn Michaels. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Now, are you babyface Shawn Michaels or heel Shawn Michaels, like DX Shawn Michaels?
You know, I think the original DX for me. But definitely heel Shawn Michaels when he's got the mirror and he's got Sensational Sherry and the whole sexy boy and the theme song. Yeah, that's throwing Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'm in. Absolutely. I'm in. He's not your boy toy. He's just a sexy boy. Robert Flores, you're the best. We appreciate the time. Stay well, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Robert Flores joining us here on the show. We think he's cute. We know he's sexy. Jay Croucher joins us next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Her throws, intercepted, picked off all the way down the sideline. Cordell Flott inside the 30, out of bounds, deep in Eagles territory.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
If Jay Kassan is trying to curry favor with me before I hand out $20 of Nick Costos' money, life-changing money, really. Mm-hmm. By playing Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme song with a Giants highlight from last night. It's working. Good job from Jake.
Updated live odds?
we are gonna have a crew, because this has been going on during the breaks. The crew is sniping at each other. We will bring it onto the air next hour and determine who will win Nick Costos' money. This week, Colin Wilson joins us in 20 minutes, giving us bets for college football. But joining us right now to talk the National Football League and perhaps a little NBA is our good buddy, the Saucy Aussie, Jay Croucher, NBC Sports betting analyst. You know, it's like a Sunday night football tradition. Like, I get home from the office, I got to record something for Westwood One. I get home, park my ass on the couch, and here's Jay Croucher talking us up before we get to the actual game. Before we see Carrie Underwood, here's Jay Croucher. One of these things is not like the other. On Twitter, at Croucher JD. What's going on, my friend?
Yeah, I'm well, mate. I'm glad you're here. Glad you made it out of the delirium of a tremendous Giants victory against the Eagles. A lot of happy Giants fans today, which is good to see for the most part. People are getting a little carried away, but I'm glad to see your team doing well, Nick, after our team, the New York Yankees, did not do so well preceding that.
Yeah, we'll leave the Yankees aside. And I started the show by saying, like, great win for the Giants, and I'm excited, but we got to pump the brakes a lot. I don't think the Giants are a playoff team. Can they go 7-10, 6-11? They could. I think that might bring Brian Daboll back, but that's a story for another day. Jay, the Eagles are so fascinating now, right? Now the third choice to win the NFC following last night's loss, two straight defeats. Offense looks broken. Defense isn't healthy. How are you approaching betting the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles at this juncture?
Yeah, so for what I bet on, which is largely futures, I think the most interesting repercussion is that clearly, whatever you think of the Eagles, they're not a juggernaut right now. And just by removing a juggernaut from the top of the NFC, it just makes everything a little bit more wide open. So I think that teams that came into the year more in that second tier in the NFC, teams like the Bucs and the Rams, I think it's much more viable that teams of that ilk could be in the Super Bowl. And perhaps the most relevant one of that tier are the Commanders, who look like they would be a drop down from teams like the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers. But now, with the Eagles making the NFC a lot more wide open, I think the Commanders become a bit more compelling as well. In terms of the Eagles, if they're just going to turn it around, I think ultimately the defense will be okay as it gets healthier, as Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell come back. Probably not going to be as good as last year overall. So we've got a giant Adoree Jackson problem. But I think the defense will be largely okay. The issue is the offense, which is just looks, to your point, it looks completely broken. The book is out on the Eagles that, you know, they only really run 10 or 12 plays, and Saquon Barkley is coming out saying last year everyone knew what we were doing too and it didn't matter. It seems like it's a point of controversy in the Eagles organization. Like, should we have more than 10 plays? It's like, I don't know, you're an NFL team, maybe you have more than 10 plays, maybe that's unambiguously a good thing if you can disguise what you're trying to do. But specifically with the Eagles, I think the thing that is lacking is that Jalen Hurts just isn't running the ball anymore. There's no designed runs in this offense. I don't know whether that's Hurts' self-preservation, whether they were trying to preserve him for a playoff run after a deep playoff run last year. But if Jalen Hurts isn't running the ball, then he's just not that special of a quarterback. And the deep ball seems to be a bit off now. They got these 10 days off. I suspect that they are going to turn it around, but there's a lot of downside with this team, and they certainly don't have the high floor that I think that everyone thought that they would coming into the year.
Yeah, no, I think you put it there perfectly. I think if they don't change the play caller, I'm thinking I'm just out entirely on the Philadelphia Eagles. It's been that bad with Kevin Petullo. How about on the positive after last night? You mentioned it, a lot of Giants fans getting a little bit carried away with the victory last night.
Well, just ask the question, market? Femi.
As Nick Costo's getting a little carried away, is the betting market getting carried away with Jackson Dart as a 2-1 shot right now to win Offensive Rookie of the Year just behind Emeka Ogbuka?
Yeah, I had a Giants fan friend, Femi, text me this morning. He said, "I am invincible. I will never die," which I really didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy that text. It was ridiculous. That's how these Giants fans are coming up. I'm old enough to remember when the New York Giants lost to the New Orleans Saints 5 days ago. So look,
can we not do this? Listen, it's been really bad. Can we just can we just enjoy a win? I'm not joking. It's not funny.
No,
enjoy a win in
but
peace?
It is funny.
Like, please.
Yeah.
Can we enjoy this win, please? Is that too much
sure.
to ask
for? Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's good. I just don't want the I'm invincible, I'll never die stuff. This is ridiculous. But
I got bad news for that guy.
Yeah. Jackson, he's gonna die. He's not invincible.
He will die at some point.
Yeah, probably. Unless Jackson Dart carries them to the Super Bowl. I think the thing with Dart, it's not so much that just that they won the game in such impressive fashion. It was the level that he played at. And the thing with Dart is that sometimes one of the knocks on him coming out of the draft is he doesn't always throw with anticipation. It seemed like he was throwing with anticipation last night. Some of those third down throws, he's got two guys in his face. He's throwing to a guy before he gets open, throwing him into just the perfect window. He looked incredible. You have to be worried, obviously, with Dart's just ability to stay healthy with the amount of hits that he's taking. But I think ultimately, I've been largely against Dart in this market. I think that the fact that he plays for the Giants in New York, the fact that he's a quarterback, obviously, I think it was inflating his price a little bit too much. Still not really interested at plus 185. I think that the way that Dart would win, because I don't think he's going to have incredible stats, because just the weapons in the pass game just aren't really there for him. So if he's not going to have incredible stats, I think he needs to bring the Giants, not to the playoffs necessarily, but at least into the mix for a playoff spot. That's Dart's pathway. I think that the gap between his price and Cam Scatterbill at the moment is much too big. I think Dart is more likely to win, but I don't think the gap there is significant. I think Emeka Egbuka is rightfully the favorite. Spoke last week to you guys about Tetteroa McMillan, who, again, this week is lined at 70.5 receiving yards, 10 yards higher than Jamar Chase. I think that he is the dark horse in this market.
And Ted McMillan hasn't scored that yet this year, but here comes the Dallas Cowboys defense into town. You better you bet on this Friday. Jay Croucher from NBC, our guest on Twitter at CroucherJD. Jay, what is your favorite side or total bet coming up for week 6 in the NFL and why?
Well, I'll give you a different angle, Nick, because I really like this bet. So the Denver Broncos play the New York Jets in London on Saturday morning, which is just an atrocious game of football. I don't think this is what FDR envisioned as he ended American isolationism in the 1940s to sway the tides of World War II, thinking that 80 years from now, here's what we've got. Bo Nix is a 7.5-point favorite over Justin Fields, who throws the football at the moment like he's Steve Traxel loading up to throw to home plate. I don't think that was envisioned as the byproduct.
This wasn't in the New Deal. Relations.
No, no, I don't believe this was part of the New Deal. Bo Nix is a 7.5-point favorite. But there is an angle into this game, and it's the great, the immortal, another guy who's invincible and who will never die, Mason Taylor. Over 3.5 receptions, which is minus 145 at BetMGM, but I think needs to be more aggressively favored. Mason Taylor, in fantasy purposes, is a legitimate tight end one. Mason Taylor, the past 3 weeks, has had 9 receptions, 5 receptions, 4 receptions. His targets have been commensurate with that. He had 12 targets last week against the Cowboys. And the other thing with Mason Taylor is that he's just out there all the time. He played 68 snaps last week, which was 84% of the Jets' snaps on offense. You know who the Denver Broncos have on their defense? Patrick Surtain, who's going to cover Garrett Wilson. And Mason Taylor is already the clear number 2 in this pass game for the Jets. The 7.5-point dogs think that they're going to need to be throwing. And if Wilson is covered by Surtain, and frankly, even if he's not, I suspect that Mason Taylor will have a pretty easy time getting to 4 receptions.
Well, so the Mason Taylor over receptions on Sunday morning in London. Do you have anything for Sunday Night Football, which will be your guys' game on NBC with the Chiefs and the Lions? I love Kansas City. What say you?
Yeah, I think I find this line very interesting. The fact that the Chiefs, who a couple of weeks ago were like field goal dogs at home to Baltimore, and now the market has seen enough to just completely believe in Kansas City that they are back. The fact that they are 2.5-point favorites over the Lions, who I think have a case to be considered the best team in football. The fact that they're favored by that much off short rest, or at least a one-day rest disadvantage, with no Rashee Rice, I think speaks volumes about the Chiefs and how they've turned things around on offense the past 2 weeks. They shouldn't have lost to Jacksonville. That was a ridiculous outcome. They moved the ball at will, and I think the past 2 weeks is the best that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have looked since 2 years ago on offense, or since they were beating the Niners in the second half of the Super Bowl. So I think the Chiefs, I think they're back. I think that the offensive line, Josh Simmons stepping up, I think it's become a strength of the team again. Mahomes has time. He looks more comfortable than ever before. I think not so much for the game specifically, but I think the weight into the Chiefs is to bet them now 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, because I think this line is telling us that when Rashee Rice comes back, and perhaps even before that, that the Chiefs are perhaps the best team in football. And I think that their schedule gets easier in the back half. I think ultimately they'll win the division. And I think that Patrick Mahomes, his floor in the NFL is basically overtime in the AFC title game. So I think that there's a good chance that he gets back there. And I think the 10-1 on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl is going to feel pretty good to have in pocket come January.
I want to save some time for the NBA, but just to follow up on the Chiefs point, because I agree. I said it earlier this week on Tuesday after they lost on Monday night. I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. I got asked a lot this week about Mahomes and MVP, and also about Baker Mayfield and MVP, if you want to loop that in as well. And like my thought is just like, hey, I kind of think Josh Allen's just going to win again. Do you agree with that assertion on Josh Allen? Do you give Mahomes a chance? Do you give Baker a chance? Anyone else in that specific market? In about a minute, so we can save some time for the NBA you wanted to get into.
Yeah, so I think Mahomes right now, as much as I think he may end as the most deserving winner, I think that voters just heavily overvalue wins in this award. And I think the plus 450 is Mahomes is much too aggressively favored and short in that market. I think he should be closer to double that price. Baker Mayfield, it's interesting. I think Baker Mayfield would actually win a vote held today. But I think that the Bucs are going to trend downwards a little bit. I think the interceptions are going to be a thorn in Baker's side in his case. So no interest in him at 7-1. Ultimately, I'm with you, Nick. I think that Josh Allen is rightfully the tier one favorite by himself in this market. I think that MVP still runs through Josh and the fact that he's just so heavily favored. Well, he's the clear favorite to get the one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, it's not like a sexy answer to say, hey, I think the favorite's probably going to win, but it does kind of feel that way as we enter week six in the NFL. NBA, season starts in less than 2 weeks, and look, like the Thunder, yeah, probably just going to win again. Do you have a non-Thunder thought in the NBA futures market for everybody?
Yeah, so what I would look at here is, so I think the Thunder are the best bet at plus 250. I think it should be closer to plus 150. I think that they have people
That's
are focusing.
That's crazy, right? Before an 82-game regular season, like plus one, and like I'm not saying I disagree, just like wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing with the Thunder that people perhaps don't register if they're not thought about it that much is that, yeah, these other teams have upgraded. The Nuggets added Cam Johnson. The Rockets, they lose Van Vliet, but they had Kevin Durant. But the Thunder, their best players are all really young. Chet Holmgren's going to get better. Jalen Williams just played the playoffs with a torn wrist ligament and is going into, what, year four. He's going to get better. Shea is still on the right side of the aging curve. Kayson Wallace is going to get better. And I think that just the internal improvement, specifically from Chet, J-Dub, and Kayson Wallace, I think that's going to be more of an improvement for them than the Nuggets adding Cam Johnson and adding a bit more depth on the bench is going to be. So I think you step back with the Thunder where they win 68 games last year. I think they're going to be better this year. And I don't see any real reason they should be worse outside of bad health luck. So I think that the title runs through Oklahoma City ultimately. If you're looking further down the board, I think that the Cavs are plus 750. I think that's a touch too long just because the path in the East is so much easier. And then in terms of long shots, the long shot that I would be backing, and it sucks because they have James Harden on their team, and if they win the title, James Harden will have to win the title, which seems very improbable. But I do think that the Clippers drifted everywhere in the market because of the Pablo Torre reported scandal. I just don't see any, I haven't seen any evidence that they're going to face repercussions for that in a way that affects them on the court this season. I think that is all going to be delayed until next offseason, and their win total dropped like 3 wins off of the report. To me, it changes 0%. I don't think that, what are they going to do? They're going to cut Kawhi Leonard mid-season? It just doesn't seem particularly likely based on the reporting so far. So I think the Clippers, who we forget, were like material favorites to beat the Nuggets in the playoffs without home court advantage. And to be fair, they lost, which is material. But I think that the Clippers are much closer to the Denvers of the world than the market is implying right now.
What is material is also the money that Femi and I lost betting on the Clippers. Can we have fun with Australian accents for a second? What is the first name of the guy of blank Tory finds out?
Pablo.
Love that. Also, what is the place that Muslims worship at? Also, what luchadors wear when they wrestle?
A mosque?
Yes, the mosque.
It's a mosque. How else could you possibly say it? A mosque?
It's a mosque.
It's a mosque. It's an Elon mosque.
Jay, we're looking for, yes, and what is the last name of, yeah. We'll see you on NBC on Sunday night, my friend. At Croucher JD, Fantasy Football Happy Hour with our friends Matthew Berry and Connor Rogers. Stay well, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Jay Croucher joining us on the show. Femi, are you a fan of how did he say Pablo? Pablo?
Pablo. Pablo Torre Pablo. Finds out.
Well, found something out.
You find out that
we'll see if it
Harden's still a choker
this year. Yeah, well, I don't think we need to find that out. Colin Wilson joins us next. College football bets for the weekend.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. Use today's Parlay Boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. And please download, like, and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. And check us out. Like, comment, and subscribe. YouTube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. For everyone watching on YouTube and Twitch, let us know your favorite bet for Week 6 NFL Sunday. Could be a side, a total, a prop. Type it in. We know you're there. Your best bet for Week 6 NFL Sunday. We'll read the best submissions next hour on the show. But before then, joining us right now to give us some college football wagers for this weekend on what should be a sensational Saturday, the great Colin Wilson from the Action Network, Big Bets on Campus podcast with our pal Stucky on Twitter @_Colin1. Colin, of course, spelled with two L's. Welcome back to the show, compadre. How are you?
I am doing great. After this interview, I'm going to go take the top off my Bronco, get a 12-pack of beer, and watch South Florida, North Texas. I think the winner of that is going to be the graphic that you see for the college football playoff group of five. Getting in maybe above Memphis. So, and I think Washington is going to score a boatload of points tonight. I got a team total over there. So I'm going to have a good night tonight.
You know, we are on year seven, football season number seven, year number six. I think that's the most American thing that's ever been said. Take the top of my Bronco, go buy a 12-pack, going to watch some college football tonight. We absolutely love it. Colin, let's turn our attention, though, to tomorrow in college football, and let's start with Oklahoma and Texas and Red River. Your expectation for what's going to happen with John Mateer, where the point spread could go, kind of like lay it out for our listeners and viewers. If X happens, then do Y, et cetera, with OU and Texas.
Yeah, I knew that the closer that we got to this in the SEC availability report, it's not really manipulated like Lane Kiffin does his, but I think they're being honest in the fact that Mateer is ready to play. He's been upgraded to probable. But the question is that hand that was broken, can it zip the ball? Can he throw it on a frozen rope? Because that adds a whole nother dimension to that Oklahoma offense. We were just expecting him to run. He's got 156 yards on the ground through designed runs, five TDs. He's a difference maker on the ground. And the reason I give the edge to OU in this game, but let's all come down to earth here a little bit. Yeah, Texas has played horrible. Their defense has been great. The offense has been an absolute mess. But at what number do you stop buying? I said Mateer at full strength, OU minus one. I'm seeing a minus one and a half at a book. I'm seeing Pick at a book. Like, if we get to three, he comes out 90 minutes before kick tomorrow, and he's out there just zipping the ball up and down the field in warmups. You're going to see this get hit tomorrow, and I think it's going to be time to hit Texas. So maybe two and a half pops up out there. I mean, I doubt we'd ever see a three, but this is getting into Texas territory so fast. I've been talking about this all week. Like, Texas had two methodical drives against Ohio State. That is a drive that consists of 10 plays. Since then, they've had games against San Jose State, UTEP, Sam Houston, and Florida. They've only created two more methodical drives since then. They've regressed since the Ohio State game. That's why the public is just dogpiling on OU. And I'm not saying it's the wrong side, but at what point do we stop buying all of this material you love and start looking at Texas a little bit? I think three is probably the answer.
Oh, man, if we can get plus three with Texas, you don't have to twist my arm to bet an underdog in Red River, man. That rivalry is awesome, and the underdog is usually barking at the Cotton Bowl. How about early in the window, Saturday morning, Alabama, Mizzou, Crimson Tide, 3-point favorites on the road. There's a couple 3.5s out there at some domestic sports books, but 3 is the consensus number, total 51.5. Will the Tide have issues in Columbia, or do you think they roll against Mizzou?
They're going to have big time issues with Missouri. And the reason, because Ahmad Hardy is number one in PFF's grading of elusiveness. He's had 49 missed tackles that he's forced this year. You cannot touch him. He's averaging so many yards after first contact. And what does Missouri run? They run inside zone. What is the worst thing Alabama defends? By the way, they're outside the top 100 in rushing success rate. They're 41% in defending inside zone. So it's just not a good matchup for Alabama's perspective, being able to stop Missouri's best weapon out there. At the same time, I'm not in love with this Missouri secondary, and Ty Simpson is like 111 for 150 this year, and 10 of those have been drops. So it's like he's throwing such a clean ball right now in Missouri. So overall, I think the over is the best bet you can go here. I don't see either defense stopping one another, but at the same time, the team that can run the ball and can control the line of scrimmage is going to be Missouri in this game. I expect Ahmad Hardy to at least get 5 yards per carry here. So I would lean with them at plus three, but I think the better bet is the over, which I don't understand the sink and the number. I make it over the 55, the key of 55.
How are you betting the big game in the Big Ten, Indiana and Oregon? Ducks now down to a 7-point favorite after opening 10 this past Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I got Indiana plus 10 when it opened up on Sunday, but I'm not going to go around and toot my CLV horn. I mean, nobody wants to hear about that. I mean, I project this game to be in between 7 and 10, and now you're seeing this massive amount of money come in and push us all the way down to 7. And I think what you have to look at is, can Indiana's second-level tacklers take care of guys like Jaden Lamar, De'Aaron Hill, DeCorian Moore, these guys that are just so hard to tackle? Indiana right now is 7th in tackling, but they also have a strength of schedule of 70th. So to me, this is a game that I think completely goes over the mark. I think there's enough offensive firepower on both sides. What Roman Hemby does and Kalen Black with their zone read going on outside zone, which is something that Oregon cannot defend whatsoever with their edge rushers. They have not been able to tackle in rush concepts. I think it's an overplay all the way. I think Indiana, I'm comfortable with my 10. I would still play it at 8. I would still play it at 7.5. I think at 7, your last call for your Hoosiers here. But I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. Mendoza's been throwing the ball great. I don't see any kind of lag in him going out to Eugene.
Yeah, should be a fun game for the Heisman Trophy market there. The winner of this one likely going to be your favorite when you wake up Sunday morning. This is You Better You Bet, Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Colin Wilson, college football betting analyst for the Action Network, host of the Big Bets on Campus podcast, talking all things Week 7 in college football. Do you agree with the market movement on USC? Because I'm starting to see some threes pop up as they're hosting Michigan tomorrow night. Do you agree with that, or do you think that this is a buy point for the Wolverines?
Not really. Like, I don't. And the reason is because, are they going to stop Justice Haynes from running the ball? Absolutely not. USC, they have a 2-4-5 defense, and they are severely struggling in rush efficiency right now. And the run concepts, I'll save you with the run concepts. Well, let's just say Michigan's going to go up the gut with Justice Haynes, who's averaging 4.3 yards after first contact, and he's created 20 missed tackles already this year. Like, USC has not been able to stop the rush, and they haven't faced the most explosive rushes out there, and we've seen what Justice Haynes and Bryce Underwood could do. At 3, you have to play this on Michigan. I get it that USC is really electric through the air, and they're going to have all their weapons and all their pieces back, and they're just a different animal at home. But Wink Martindale's defense is really kind of a shell that hangs back with a nickel look that, like, doesn't want anything to get behind them. So really this comes down to finishing drives, and this comes down to red zone opportunities where I think Michigan will firm up. But, like, again, the team that can control the line of scrimmage and run the ball is usually the team that I like most. But I would definitely get the 3 and not the 2.5. By the way, I will say this. I said this in the preseason. I took Michigan to make the Big Ten championship game and possibly win the Big Ten at like 13-1 before the season. And then I also took a USC 20-1. I pointed to this game. The winner of this game, in my opinion, at least is getting a spot in the Big Ten championship. If you look at the remainder of their schedules, be ready to bet on Sunday or Monday, the winner of this game, to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, Femi will be on Jaden Maiava Island. I'm on Bryce Underwood Island with my bet on Michigan to make the college football playoff. I think Michigan wins this game. They went out until, you know, the big game.
Yeah.
And hopefully get in as a two-loss team into the college football playoff. Colin, the big noon game tomorrow, Ohio State 14.5 at Illinois. It looks like this might come down to 14, total 50.5. How are you betting this game, if at all?
It's over what it should be. It should be 12.5, so I'm kind of hesitating on Ohio State, but at the same time, this Illinois defense is regressing. They are horribly regressing right now. 128th in defensive pass EPA, so Julian Sain ought to be able to get anything they want down the field. And Luke Altmaier continues to have these games without interceptions. I don't know how he is pulling off from the Illinois side. They can't run the ball. He can't throw against cover one, which is what the Buckeyes have played almost the entire season. Havoc is a real concern here. Illinois is 127th and tackles for loss allowed. You're going to expect to see that Buckeyes defensive line in the backfield all day of Illinois. So at the same time, I consider and tell you that, yeah, 14 may be a little bit too much. But when the Ohio State defense is going to be in the backfield all over Luke Altmaier all day, that makes this a different thing. So I think Illinois is regressing defensively. They're not as potent as they were last year offensively. And I think Ohio State's going to gnaw on them here a little bit. So I would still play Ohio State at 14, probably make it a pass at 14.5.
Let's hit two SEC games here to close, and then we'll ask you about other bets that you like in some of the non-marquee matchups. Georgia, 3.5 at Auburn, and A&M, 7.5 against Florida.
Yeah, Georgia-Auburn is an under all the way. I mean, what these two teams do from a run concept perspective, the other team is absolutely able to stop. And can you believe that Auburn is number one and two in the nation in defensive rushing success rate and line yards? So whatever Georgia has from a rushing perspective, which they're not explosive anyways, Auburn's going to be able to stop. So I think that this is an under game all the way. What is going on with Auburn's wide receivers? This was the hottest wide receiver class of any team, what they did in the portal, and they're 130th in pass EPA. They haven't been able to create explosives whatsoever. We'll see if that changes here because Georgia's secondary has been taken advantage of, but I'm going to have to go with the numbers and say there's no explosiveness happening on either side, so I'll definitely take the under. What was the other SEC game? I'm sorry. I got
Florida and A&M.
I love A&M, and I think, you know, Florida did a great job. DJ Lagway is back. But I don't think people are paying enough attention to what Texas A&M is doing on defense. They have cut their missed tackles in a game from 18 to 13 to 10, just six in their last game. They are getting better from a tackling perspective. They are getting better from a defensive red zone perspective. And I shouldn't have to tell people by now in the season what they are doing offensively. That offensive line may be the best in the nation at punching you in the face and running you over with two wide receivers like Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion, who may be the most electric tandem duo in all of college football. A&M is a problem at the national level. I think you should go and get a piece of them from a national stage level, from a playoff stage, from an SEC stage. That being said, the number I kind of make 7.5. I parlayed this with Utah. I think A&M and Utah are two no-doubt winners this week. You can parlay them, get about like -115 on it.
30 seconds here. Give us something else you like other than the marquee games we've discussed for this weekend in college football. 30 seconds.
I don't understand the dip on the LSU number. South Carolina is absolutely horrendous in protecting Lenora Sellers. LSU has a top 30 Havoc defense. I think LSU -9 is good. It should be about -12. Colorado is going to win that game outright. Iowa State is completely a fraud in their box scores. They have been looking to lose, and I'm telling you, Colorado is going to win that one outright. Arkansas, Bobby Petrino, my coach, is now telling the kids, do you know your dollar value? Show up and earn your money. He's talking to them like adults, like they should have been talked to the whole time. Expect them to be motivated and cover against Tennessee.
Do you think Sam Pittman did a good job? We'll talk to you next week, Colin. Yes. At _Colin1 on Twitter, Big Bets on Campus is the podcast with Colin and our friend Stucky. My friend, good luck with the bets. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Colin Wilson joining us on the show. Final hour, power hour coming up next. All our bets for the football weekend, baseball, WNBA, and most importantly, we find out who wins Nick Costos' money.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.